House set to vote on ending partial government shutdown. Some GOP members want to impeach Treasury Secretary Rubin. Surprise resignations from Japan's Prime Minister and Dolphins coach Shula. Good Friday morning, Bill Lynch with the CBS World News Roundup. House Republican leaders are predicting passage today of a plan that would return federal employees to their jobs through January 26th. But Indiana GOP freshman Mark Sauder is rebelling.
This is a disaster waiting to happen. How many Republicans will stand up this morning and express that is unclear at this point, but let's just say there's a building opposition, and the more members that focus on this is not what they told us would happen last night in conference.
This is Rob Armstrong on Capitol Hill. Hardline conservatives sent Speaker Gingrich back to the drawing board late last night when they rejected the first version of his plan to bring back the government workers. It was nearly midnight when Gingrich emerged from a stormy and sometimes angry GOP caucus.
Frankly, it took a long, difficult day of conversation to have a unified House Republican Party that felt it could both keep its commitment to the American people to balance the budget and find a way to help federal employees and, frankly, find a way to offer the president a chance once again to keep his word and to supply a balanced budget in 7 years.
The Gingrich plan would pay federal workers through January 26th and would fund only certain high-profile programs such as Meals on Wheels and veterans benefits. In some cases, workers would be on the job but would not be able to do such things as put gas in government vehicles. And the threat remains to shut the whole thing down again if the balanced budget talks don't produce results. Stephen Hess, a presidential scholar at the Brookings Institution, worries whether a potentially dangerous new weapon is in research and development for future congressional groups with highly focused agendas.
Everybody had better take a step back and pause and think about what they're doing in the long run. They know what they're doing in the short run. What they're doing in the short run has to do with political tactics and political strategy, but what are they doing in the long run?
Now with the view from the White House, correspondent Bill Plant.
Despite all the poisonous rhetoric surrounding the budget debate, the Clinton White House has been careful not to burn its bridges to the Republican leadership. Last night, an administration statement pointedly blamed a willful extreme minority in the House Republican caucus for holding common sense and the American people hostage. That means the president, the Senate majority leader, and the speaker can sit down here later today to resume budget talks with no hard feelings. Despite the fact that the Republicans obviously hope their plan to reopen the government will take the heat off them and put it back on Mr. Clinton. Bill Plant, CBS News, the White House.
Among those waiting for a resolution of the budget crisis is Marcia King, who's been working without pay at the Social Security office in Fort Worth.
It's taking a big toll on our family and taking a toll on our nerves. We don't know where the money's coming from, for sure. We're all angry with each other, and we're all hurt that the government would leave us in this position.
The nation's largest AIDS research program in Birmingham, Alabama, stopped accepting new patients because of the federal budget stalemate, and doctors fear lasting repercussions. Another casualty, the December unemployment report. House Republicans have begun discussing the possible impeachment of Treasury Secretary Robert Rubin. They claim he's ignored the will of Congress by juggling the books to keep government operating. U.S. Trade Representative Mickey Cantor is creating a special trade enforcement office. It's designed to beef up enforcement of accords with major trading partners such as China, Japan, and Canada. In a surprise move, Japan's Prime Minister Tomiichi Maruyama has resigned. Bruce Dunning has details in our Tokyo Bureau.
Saying he had accomplished all he set out to do, Maruyama told a news conference he is quitting as prime minister. He did not give any specific reasons except to say that the new year needs new leadership. Members of the three-party coalition government were suddenly called to a hastily arranged meeting, among them Ryutaro Hashimoto, now the trade minister and the most likely to be prime minister. Maruyama's popularity has plummeted over the past year, and he was expected to quit, but not before spring. Only the timing was a surprise. His government was an improbable coalition cobbled together as the conservative Liberal Democratic Party was falling apart 18 months ago. The conservatives invited their bitter enemies, the socialists, to form the coalition government. The coalition, however, is expected to survive at least until the next elections. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Tokyo.
Also resigning today, Russia's pro-Western foreign minister, Andrei Kozyrev, stepping down to take a seat in parliament. Russian scholar and CBS News consultant Stephen Cohen says it shows the pressures on Boris Yeltsin.
Politically, it's enormously symbolic. He is, more than any other person in Russia, the symbol of the ultra-pro-Washington foreign policy that has been pursued off and on by the Yeltsin government since late 1991. And for months it's been clear that such a foreign policy is just not politically sustainable.
The fugitive master bomber of the Islamic Hamas movement, Yahya Ayash, has been killed in a bomb blast in the Gaza Strip. Hamas blames Israeli agents. In Portland, Oregon, police say a recently fired delivery man bent on revenge walked into an office tower parking garage and shot and wounded two people with an assault rifle. Police spokesman C.W. Jensen says gunman James Rinker targeted female employees.
He made deliveries to the 13th floor or 14th floor to some business there and apparently had a problem with some of the female employees that worked at whatever business this was when he made his deliveries.
In the end, after holding four hostages, the gunman surrendered. An appeals court in Florida has cleared the way for a group of flight attendants to sue tobacco companies for their on-the-job exposure to secondhand smoke. Philip Morris will ask the court to reconsider. Three Hispanic men have filed a lawsuit against a Union Gap, Washington bar owner, claiming she denied them service because they wouldn't speak English. Proprietor Joyce Ostrander defends the sign over her bar that reads, "In the USA, it's English or adios, amigo."
This is America. I thought English was the given language in this country, but apparently it's not.
Ostrander also claims it's a security issue.
I feel it's a safety hazard when none of us can understand what they're saying. And, I mean, how do we know they're not plotting against the world? We don't.
The State Liquor Control Board has warned Ostrander she could lose her license if she doesn't take the sign down. Lawyers for O.J. Simpson head to court later today. They'll try to postpone their client's deposition in a wrongful death suit. Three people, including the brother and sister of a U.S. Army lieutenant, have been indicted on charges they illegally sold German art treasures. More than a half century ago, Joe Tom Meter stole the items from their hiding place in a German cave. Don Shula, the NFL's winningest coach, will resign as coach of the Miami Dolphins. His defensive coordinator, Tom Olivadotti, says it's a case of Super Bowl blues.
Don had years left in him to coach, and he hasn't lost his competitive spirit. But if you don't win the big one, eventually you got to go.
Linebacker Brian Cox will miss his coach.
Coach Shula meant a lot to me because he's always in my corner. And, you know, when someone like him steps down, and you have to rethink and reevaluate, you know, your position.
Dallas Cowboys coach Barry Switzer envies Shula.
He's going to really like being out of football. I know he will be. He's going to find out that there's another life out there, and he's going to enjoy it much more. And he and his family will, because he'll finally get to do what he wants to do.
Shula's just finished his 26th year with the Dolphins. Las Vegas-based Grand Airways has been grounded. The low-fare airline is trying to reorganize its finances after trying to expand into new markets. Overseas, the dollar's lower. London gold is up 275 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow is down 15.5 points. It's 10 past.